Well, it's Friday, and welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Lance Ward, and we'll be summarizing what we've read together this week through our Bibles. And remember, you can download a PDF of this plan where you can see every day printed out. You can download this in the description of this podcast. Well, this past week, we finished up Leviticus, broke into the book of Numbers. We also read three Psalms, and we finished up Hebrews, reading Hebrews 9 through 13. In light of what you've read in Leviticus, note the emphasis on personal holiness in Hebrews, especially chapter 12, verses 10, 14, and 16. God's holiness and His stress on His people being holy really never changes. Though the new covenant is superior to the old, God's purpose for those He has called is still holiness. Notice this too. Notice the eye for an eye passage, often quoted in our day. It's in Leviticus 24, verses 19 and following. I think we often think of that passage in a negative way, but I hope you noticed how it aligns with the Lord's perfect justice regarding personal injury. If someone were to injure their neighbor deliberately and permanently, the punishment should fit the crime, in other words. In God's system of justice, if someone injured you, you could not take their life in return. That would be unjust. In all of the civil laws in those times, God, not the people, would define what was just. He would not leave this up to the people who might have fickle hearts and charged emotions. In the heat of the moment, the people were not to seek revenge, but to do justice. Justice defined by God, not by one's emotions. Unfortunately, I think somewhere along the way, this law perhaps became a license for personal vendettas, rather than relying on God's gracious justice set in place. And this is probably why Jesus addresses this law in the Sermon on the Mount, where He says, "You've heard this, but I say to you." But in the original context, it was really just to be sure that a society had perfect justice, an apples-to-apples justice, and that justice was not skewed by someone taking matters into their own hands. Speaking of this, you may have noticed in Numbers 5:5-7, how someone is to deal with wronging a neighbor. There's confession, then there's restitution, the parameters of which are defined by God. Consider how this might guard us against a shallow or empty confession, because the offender not only had to acknowledge his crime, but he also had to make up for it so that the offended was restored, that things would be just the way they had previously been, plus a little interest, if you will. All this to say, God cared for His people by providing just laws that conformed to God's good justice, not subject to the whims of the people. They were designed to ensure that the victims of crime were not ignored or taken advantage of. And that's a gracious God, isn't it? Numbers 6:22-27 contains one of the most famous blessings and benedictions in the entire Bible, known to many as the Aaronic blessing, the blessing Aaron gave. Now, I did not grow up in a church where creeds and blessings were recited each week, but if you did yourself, you can probably finish this blessing, which begins, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Let us never take for granted the long-term payoff of repetitions in church, whether they be in creeds, prayers, or songs. We might never know how such repetitions have strengthened our souls as this famous blessing can. I have seen this often in the lives of the elderly I visit in congregational care, especially those whose minds have been ravaged by Alzheimer's or dementia. I've noticed that if any of them grew up in church, they may not always be able to cobble together a complete thought, but start singing an old hymn or reciting the Lord's Prayer, and they just start chiming right in. That's the gift of repetition over the years, and don't discount that. That is very valuable in their lives, and maybe it will be one day in ours. By the way, speaking of Numbers, before we go to Hebrews, as you continue through Numbers next week, mark references to holiness and mentions of a pleasing aroma, like you did in Leviticus. These terms seem to be more prominent in the second part of Numbers, so you will see some thoughts that sound very similar to Leviticus as you mark those terms, holiness and pleasing aroma. Well, you know what? This is one of those weeks where I kind of just camped out on a familiar verse, but I saw it in kind of a fresh light. It's Hebrews 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." For some reason on this reading, the term "seen" stood out to me, especially as the term and its ideas seem to run through this whole chapter of Hebrews 11. As I scanned the examples throughout the chapter, the idea of unseen kept coming up and seemed to refer to promises that had not yet come to fruition. So another way of saying unseen might be unrealized. So one big theme in Hebrews 11 is the faith of those who did not see or experience the promises of God, yet they continued to trust Him. In 11 verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, built the ark." The next verse, "By faith Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going, not seeing his destination." In verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised." In other words, not seeing the fruition of God's promises. Verse 16, "As it is, they desire a better country, an unseen country, you might say. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city." Then in verse 26, "Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward, the unseen reward." In verse 35, the author writes, "Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better," and I put in parentheses, "yet unseen life." And then finally, in verse 39, it says, "All these, though commended through their faith, did not receive, did not see what was promised on earth." So going back to verse 1, I noted the tie between things hoped for and things not seen, especially as they related to the examples in this chapter. The people known for sturdy faith believed God's promises to the very end, whether they saw fulfillment in this lifetime or had to bank on the thought that they would have to wait until the next life. This reminds us that faith in God is ultimately a steadfast belief in His promises, whether we see them in this life or in the life to come. When we trust in God, we ultimately trust that whatever He has promised will come to pass. So when we talk about the faith of Hebrews 11, especially considering what some call its hall of faith, notice that it is related to the clear promises of God, in which the heroes of this chapter, and even we today, fixed their highest hopes. Things like the return of Christ, the death of death, eternal life, and a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Whether we see things in this lifetime, or these kinds of things in this lifetime, or in the eternal state to come, the faith of Hebrews 11 is the fixed conviction that all God's promises will assuredly happen, and we will one day see them come to pass. I love the way author and pastor Mark Buchanan puts it when he says this, "Helping people anticipate their future has become my favorite pastoral counseling technique." Though I noticed other things in Leviticus and Psalms this week, I camped out a lot on Hebrews 11. You will probably find yourself doing that in some of our weekly readings, and that's great. Sometimes we'll read a whole lot, yet only come away with a little nugget of truth or two. But those little truths can make a big difference in the way we view God and we grow in Christ. So keep reading, keep marking the passages that help you to understand God better and treasure Christ more. And speaking of reading, next week, Numbers 8 through 25, Colossians 1 through 4, we will start in Luke 1, and it's not even Christmas time, and then we'll go to Psalms 28 and 113. So I will talk to you next week for week 10. Have a great week.